Gage, Max, and Joe. Gage, Max, Joe. Gage, Max, Gage, and Max, Joe. And Joe. YouTube live show with Gage, Max, and Joe. Leather fired up and ready, fired up and ready to go. Gage, Max, Gage, Max, and Joe. Gage, Max, Joe. Gage, Max, and Joe. Gage, Max, Joe. Gage, Max, Gage, and Joe. Max, and Joe. YouTube live show.
Alrighty, back here, another episode of Out of System. We haven't really done this in a while. Joe, it's good to be back on air with you, man.
It's good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in forever, though. I never get to see you, man.
Max, good to see you back on air, man.
Good to see you, too. You. Good to be back here in the Joe Rogan Experience for Out of System podcast.
Hey, no free...
No free advertising.
Free advertising.
Rule number one.
Shoot.
That's our bill. As you can see, Max is wearing a blank shirt. We're wearing an Out of System shirts. No free advertising. Okay.
No free advertising.
The last time we were doing this, we were in person, so it's nice seeing Max over the phone again. It's nice seeing. I mean, it was nice having you in person, but it's way better kind of not having you here.
It's good when you're here. It's but it's much better when you're gone.
So. Things are back and roll. Since now, we've released a lot of content, non-podcast content. So we've been intentionally filming stuff and talk about. All the vlogs are out. The Save Stanford Men's Volleyball is out. And today we have a phenomenal guest in Taylor Crabb. We have a lot to talk about with him. Locals like ourselves, you know, born and bred in Hawaii. You know how it is. But yeah, so a lot of content. And we kind of want to start this out by explaining what the plan is from here, right? So you see, we dumped a lot of content. Not dumped, but... threw a lot of content your way. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't, go check it out right now. So we want to kind of specify what's happening right now. So I think Joe, you should explain when you're going to Germany and kind of that.
Yeah, so this is probably the last time in a while you're going to see us like this in this kind of format, because I am leaving for Germany this coming Sunday. So I'm going to be getting on a plane heading over. I'm going to be having a quarantine, but that means we're going to be literally on the other side of the world, because Gage will be heading back to Hawaii in the next couple of weeks.
With Max.
He'll be in California a little longer, but then he'll be back over to Hawaii getting ready for school. And from there, we started hitting some different marks that we've had for Out of System, and we're starting to do other content, and the other content is just going to be coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be dropping like crazy and all kinds of different ideas. Yeah, and everybody's asked, what about the podcast? I'm like, this is here to stay. This is the OG thing. It's here to stay. This isn't going anywhere. We're going to make sure we're going to be same format as we're doing it right now. Once a week, we'll probably be releasing every Friday, but this will always here be to stay, but we're going to be branching out, doing all kinds of cool stuff.
I mean, I know. The thing is what we're trying to go for again is the podcast and other stuff. There's nothing pisses off more than realizing we're just doing a podcast, but we need to branch out. And then we're like, we're not going to do anything until Waupaca hit. Now we're releasing other stuff. We know Max, you guys loved Max's interviews. We love Max's interviews. Max loved Max's interviews. So, I mean, Max, we're going to start producing our own stuff together. I think it's going to be all going to be fun and cherry. I know you're going to have fun out there, Max, with that.
Can't wait.
A bunch of crazy people again. But yeah, so that's the plan. He goes back. We go back together. He'll give you the life of what it's like in a pro athlete. We'll give you the life of what it's like Hawaii and just a couple of idiots running around kind of having fun. But before we bring Taylor on, we kind of wanted to kind of have or Joe's going to kind of do an intro.
Before we got into the segment that kind of ties into our guest coming on today, I wanted to get your guys' final thoughts from Waupaca, because the show we did last week was a special feature on Stanford. It wasn't anything about the stuff that we've been doing. So I want, really quickly, we've been getting a lot of dope comments and dope questions about Waupaca. I want to get your guys' kind of final opinion on that whole week and
Max,
what you thought about it.
I think Max, you go first.
Oh, yeah, it was dope. I think the coolest thing was just hanging out with Dalt again. It just took me back, man.
Yeah.
Rooming with Dalt. Like, we were always saying we were roommates together on the road when he was here playing at UH. So that was a lot of fun to just kind of see that. And, you know, speaking of Dalt, just to give you a little update on where he's at. He started his PT, so he's looking better with that. But all the best for him.
Yeah, I mean, I can go on this forever. And I'm sure you kind of saw our vlog 3. You saw kind of how we sort of expressed our very, very, our condolences and just thanks to everyone out there. But yeah, just the playing atmosphere. Grass volleyball, it it made you fall in love with grass volleyball again.
It just volleyball. I think it's the Gage and I were saying it's like the most like creative and coolest form of volleyball because it really it's a tie between the outdoor game, the indoor game. I think different elements of it, like the defense is a lot more outdoor, like on the beach is a one-on-one blocking. The defense is more outdoor based. You have to run down shots. And then the indoor is a lot more the offense is a lot more on the indoor side. We have multiple options and you kind of do different combos and you have to be a little more aggressive on the service line because you're trying to take away certain options. And so the tactical part, as Max knows, is the side that I love to talk about, love to get down to. And it the grass game brings both the kind of outdoor like grittiness on defense, the indoor kind of the tactics going on with that and figuring out ways to beat teams. I think because on the outdoor, I always feel like the offense, there is a couple things you do here and there, but it's not too hard. Like one blocker, one hitter, they're not setting anybody else. Maybe you'll do a couple funky footwork or funky different plays, but all the blocker has to do is line up in front of you. So like that added player in there, that element, I love quads. That just adds in a whole nother.
I like triples more.
Yeah.
I like triples more because you have to move more.
Yeah. No, 100%. And the other thing I said is that entire week was exactly what we want out of system to be, to where we're going on trips together with our guys, volleyball related trips we're doing. We're taking you along with the trips, showing you kind of behind the scenes, documenting that in like a video format, and then just creating a community. Because as you saw that week, we had kind of a group that was together, and it was like that was kind of a squad, and that was
just genuine.
Rolling. And as the week went by, people were just kind of jumping on the bandwagon, cheering for us, and we loved it. It was sweet. It was such a cool experience.
And yeah, and seeing those vlogs, you just kind of see, I mean, people out here, occasionally you see, for example, you see Max what he does in the interviews, but we're all acting. It's all just like way more genuine when you see us out there just kind of doing our thing. And I think that's the best to kind of get closer. So that's what we kind of want to bring to you guys.
Yeah. So that's that. Alpaca vlog 3 just dropped. So make sure you go check that out. We love that. We got a lot of good feedback about that. It was dope time. And we're glad I could share a little bit with you guys. But before we get Taylor Crabb on the show with us, we had to do this. I was talking to a couple AVP people. I'm like asking them, is this a good idea? Or could we get some backlash? We're like, we're out of system. We do what we want.
texted them.
We're doing
it. We didn't care.
They all said, not a good idea. No, they didn't say that. They all thought. So we're going to start this off. I have four different partners here or ex-partners that broke up on the AVP tour. A lot of them were playing, maybe all of them. Yeah. All of them were playing, been playing in the AVP Championship the past couple weeks. I had to double check that. And they were ex-partners, and we're gonna let the out-of-system crew here delve into why we think the partnership didn't work. And there's a lot of
reasons. It's based on just the look, right?
Yeah.
Having not known them or met them.
Yeah,
or
we don't, all right. These people,
we've met a couple of these people.
We don't have any inside scoop. We don't have any.
We have absolutely no inside scoop. So I'm going to let Gage and Max here go into. I might add in my 2 cents. But please, nobody take this personal. It's just kind of what we got from maybe looking at their social media or seeing them on TV.
But maybe it's good to take it personal. We have some beef.
Yeah.
That's good.
First partnership we're going to start off with here. One of them was an ex guest of the show. Zana Muno and her partner from last year, Chrissy Jones. You know, Zana is she has a close tie here with our show because of Micah.
I got one.
I
think maybe just hanging out with Micah so much has rubbed off and might have just made her unable to admit defeat in any regard. Maybe her partner just got a little sick of it after a while.
I was gonna say that she refused to listen to Michael, aka Kama's music, and thought it was trash.
So it was a tie into the Micah. That could be true. I don't know what Chrissy's feelings are on Micah. Maybe she's just like not into the relationship. Maybe I don't know if Chrissy's in a relationship.
Maybe she's like,
but I'm gonna take the side of she's against relationships.
Joe's even against a duo being together for sports. That's a relationship. Maybe it's two people having a bond. He's against.
That's why I don't play beach. Yeah, I can't have a relationship. Exactly. But maybe that's the reason why. Maybe she's like, you know what, Zana? Either the relationship or me gives her, lays it out there. Boom. And Zana took Micah. That's the side I'm going with that.
Maybe.
Again, we have no intel. That's just kind of our. Right?
We know. Yeah.
Next one, again, on the women's side. I think It's two women, two men. We're going to go to the women's side again. Kelly Glaze and Sarah Hughes, the dynamic duo from USC, you saw. And I don't know what went down there, but...
Gage, you look like you want to say something.
All right, questions. I'll just say, so we don't know. I've never met any of these
two. I've met any of these
two. We hear about what their interests are and stuff, so...
So I'm a big, huge comic book fan, and what I've seen from Kelly Glaze, she's also a big comic book fan. So I was thinking that Sarah Hughes wouldn't go to Comic Con with her dress up in her Naruto outfit.
She stayed in Naruto.
She's like in her full Naruto. She's like, why aren't you coming with me? That's what I mean. Or Batman and Robin. Yep.
I don't really have anything better than that. I think, are they both from LA? Do you know?
They both went to USC. That's the
part. They were like for a while. Easily the most dominant partner duo in the history of collegiate volleyball. They were just like, they wouldn't lose for years at a time.
Maybe they lost one time and that was it.
Yeah.
Only Max, takes once.
Max, what do you got anything?
I'm rolling with the Naruto thing, man.
Who knows? Maybe Sponsor will just cut out a big check.
Oh, that Adidas money, huh?
Who knows? We don't know. We have no idea. That could be. But again, USC, thanks partners. All right, next two here. This is a big one. I don't know if you're familiar with Chase Budinger, who is an ex NBA player, and Casey Patterson. Gage is the one who brought this duo up here. And I think Max, you would get a kick out of both of these characters. Both of them. Casey's known to kind of be the electric guy on the beach. He's a big trash talker. Chase, ex-NBA player Gage, why do you think these two broke up?
Well, if I were to take a random stab in the dark here.
haven't thought about this at all.
That Budinger made some comment about his hair or something. Right? You're just like, your hair looks stupid, like Ron Burgundy. What did you just say to me? Fired his eyes. Just done after that.
Isn't Casey pretty big on his hair? Like,
I mean, you see, that's all he does. I mean, he definitely takes a lot of time.
He does that.
Man, I'd be big on my hair too if I had his hair.
You have a mullet. You both have a mullet.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not
an electric mullet. An electric mullet. Those two, yeah. Those two, I don't know a whole lot about either of those two. We don't have really any
Mash got anything connections.
No, I like what Gage said. Something hair related for sure. Actually, wait. I got a side note here about just beach in general. I was talking to Shuey about this, and he was
Brett Shuey for everybody.
Yeah.
Brett Shuey.
Dude, he gave me this hat, and he said it reminds him of, if anyone here knows who Sean Scott is, but it's just pretty much like 2000s aesthetic where there's no snapback or anything on it. So when you wear it, it's just like, you're like just ready to go.
That's like a
electric.
Tim Baumgren has that.
Yeah, the Baumgren bros who we played in Wapaka, they had that. But all right, last one here before we get our guests on the show, and we had to do it because this has been brought up a lot and I've seen comments made, but I want you guys to guess.
We give Max a floor on this.
The Crab brothers, Trevor and Taylor Crab. They've been known, there's a big rival. The past 2 years, every time they play each other, it's kind of it's a big showdown and trash talk going. Trevor's usually the one who trash talks the most. Taylor's kind of more cruise.
Yeah.
But Max, why do you think the Crab brothers no longer are partnered together?
You know, I think, and this is having no firsthand experience with this at all whatsoever, but just I've heard people, you know, maybe in volleyball, just dealing with your brother, playing with him side by side, you might not get along sometimes. Again, I've never witnessed that personally, but I don't know, Gage, what do you think about it?
Yeah, probably, it had to be something stupid like that. I feel like either that or they just got wasted one night and just a WWE WrestleMania slam in the living room or something like that. Something along those lines. Because I know they like drinking.
But now they have the show, the whiskey. Drinking whiskey with the crabs.
I'm going to ask about them because I don't know if I could do that like with you. If we weren't partners and we kind of like broke up. Maybe, I don't know. Because we would be civil about it.
That's the one thing is you see them outside of the court and they look like – pretty chill with each other. I don't know. Maybe they're putting on an act, but I don't think so. I think they're pretty. It looks like in general they're pretty cruising with each other.
Doesn't seem like the type of guy to put on acts.
But maybe just like on the court, there's. I
don't know. What would you guys review together? And if you guys had your own show, like they did their whiskey show, what would you two want to review together?
Gage, you got to be specific, not just random food.
Junk food.
Super specific, Gage.
We would probably do some sort. It would have to be some sort of burger. I don't know. Like, to be honest, for us, Gage is always a big burger guy. So.
Burger, burritos,
nachos. I know. Oh, burritos, bro.
Yeah, burritos.
Burritos anywhere too. So that's our go-to. Yeah. So
when you come back, Joe, we'll get a burrito review page.
Go yeah. Back. All right. So we talked this. We're gonna kind of get to the bottom of this. Why Trevor and Taylor broke up? Why those other people broke up? Maybe he has some inside scoop. Unlike us, just kind of pulling stuff out of our butt here. But we talked to Trevor agreed to come on, or Taylor agreed to come on the show. Jeez, because we won Walpaca, and I guess everything helps everything once you win. But again, welcome on the show, our good friend Taylor Crabb. All right, joined here by a two-time MVP, all around just baller, Long Beach State alum, AVP Defensive Specialist of the Year, Taylor Crabb. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I kind of want to first talk about the last two tournaments here. I'm sure not the finishes you kind of wanted to expect, but I think this last one was a little more unique, and is the games were obviously not as close. And this yeah. is, we've all had our kind of fair share of not so close games, whether it doesn't matter what round it is. And what I kind of want to ask you is probably the most annoying question you get after those kinds of losses is, so what are you guys going to do differently next time? And for me, like when someone asks me after I kind of get my butt handed to me, it's like, you just got to play better. Like when it comes down to it, like if you're playing like a high level, you just got to kind of just play better. And everything kind of falls out of place. And I wonder if you can kind of expand on that for you, or maybe it's different for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, every time we play them, we get, you know, what are you guys going to do differently? And I mean, we play them in every tournament. We know what each other likes to do. We know our game plans, and it just comes down to executing. And last weekend, Phil and Nick played unbelievable. Phil's jump serving right now is, you know, insane. Top of the world. His whole game right now is pretty scary. It's like old Phil's back right now, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's
kind of. It's just coming down and executing your game plans because we know each other.
The crazy thing is like, once you're at a high level, you can lose a match within like 2 or 3 points, just like that. Like, not maybe not a match, but like the game is like it's that once you're at like a high level, the margin for error is so slim. And I'm sure you kind of experience that now, but it's also got to be kind of a different feeling now where you have like back-to-back-to-back weekends of like being able to kind of go at them again. So I imagine you're just kind of regrouping, getting ready for the Porsche. This is the last tournament, for AVP, right?
Yeah. As of right now, this is the last one. I've heard very small chatter that they're gonna try hold a couple more tournaments later on in the year. But that's pretty far out right now. It's exciting in the fact that we've never had AVPs back to back. So, you know, you kind of just forget about the last tournament and try to build and move on and one more tournament. And it's not likely that we win the whole series because Phil and Nick have 2 wins right now. So
you have to lose a match to get them early on, where you can knock out the. For you guys as a competitor, like I never like interacting with the other team before the tournament's over. After the tournament's over, I'll talk a little bit. But I can imagine for those type of guys, I don't know what you're like and what you think of this whole thing. We've heard there's no interaction going on between teams really. While they're on site, what is your kind of feeling? Like, what's the whole situation with that and the kind of behind the scenes?
Between us and them, we're pretty good friends and we talk off the court and on the court too. So, I mean, actually before this final or before the final 2 weeks ago where we're warming up on the same court and Phil comes up. I mean, they're awesome, dude. They're such great guys. He comes up to me, and he's asking me like if I have a financial advisor and all. He starts talking to me about money because when he was my age and making a lot of money, he kind of wishes he took better care of it or just had different options. Like he's talking to me about real estate. So he was like coming to me and trying to be a mentor to me. Like, hey, like you should be smart with your money right now, and so that way when you're older. So it's pretty laid back with them. They're laid back guys, and I appreciate that coming from two of the best players ever, Nick and Phil, like talking to me about mentorship and helping me along the way is, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
I mean, I think that's
I was just saying, do you think that's pretty common in the community, that sort of interaction going on? Because you're running into the same people so frequently, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that specific thing is pretty special. I mean, having an older guy coming in and actually caring about your well-being and your living. But I mean, in the beach community, and as you guys know, in the indoor community, there's everyone's helping each other out and wishes the best for them. There's no real animosity between players, I feel like, unless it's my brother and someone.
Yeah. Now that you brought that up, so in our intro segment, we did. I talked to Sponsel about Sarah Sponsel about doing this, and I brought this up with a few people, and about doing this segment, and we brought up four different partners who are ex-partners now, and why, and we had to guess why they broke up, and yeah. You guys were our fourth ones, you and your brother were our fourth,
yeah.
But you're not partners. For you, I mean, he and I, we don't play a whole lot of beach like anymore.
Uh-huh.
But for you, what was like the hardest thing you said? Because what was the hardest thing about playing with your brother? Whether it was like right after the game, like stuff that happened, or what was the hardest thing that you would say is?
I think just the hardest part about all of it was that we spent so much time together. Like we lived together, we still do. And when you're playing beach, you travel together, you're in the same hotel room. So literally every single day of our lives, we're together, we're training together, and we're playing this competition like for our dreams to make it to the Olympics, to win these tournaments. So there's so much stress and pressure that you kind of let that overtake, you know, other stuff. So I think that was the hardest part about it all.
Yeah. I was 12, he was maybe like 10 or 11. There was a story of I got so mad at him, I threw a handful of sand into his face after he did something. Is there anything that happened with you and your brother, anything close to that, or is that just me being an a-hole?
I wouldn't say on the court or anything, but I mean, we've had our like fist fights and wrestling yeah. off the court as we're kids and everything, so.
That's good. Nothing happened on court then.
Yeah, yeah. On the court, we tried to keep it together for our fans and our parents' sake.
Right, right. The parents is the biggest one. The parents are just like, they get so mad if if they saw that happen.
My guess. So for when he asked, he's like, okay, why do you think that the Crab Brothers broke up? And I was like, you know what, Max? Remember, Max said something along the lines of, because he's seen it between us. Max, what was your answer for this to that question?
Oh, no, I was just saying, in general, that's pretty common, right, for your brother. Like he said, you spent so much time with him, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, that or they got drunk one night and did a full WWE SmackDown in the living room. Either one of those two.
That was our tipping point, though.
Really, really?
last tournament of the year, I'll say this. Last tournament of the year, we make it to the semis. And Saturday night, we go to the player party. And I get absolutely hammered. obviously, my brother's not happy. We show up the next day, and we lose the semis. But, I mean, it wasn't because I went out the last time. I mean, whatever. Maybe it was. Maybe it hurt me. But whatever. We lost in the semis, and obviously, he wasn't happy about that. So that was kind of like our tipping point that pushed us over the edge that season.
For sure. And I was on another phone call 2 days ago with, so you're, I mean, everybody knows that you kind of grew up on the baby court and at Outrigger. And anybody who isn't familiar with that listening, you got to look back at our past few episodes. We talked about that a little bit and we got into what baby court it was. And I was on a phone call with someone who claimed that you won't admit a defeat on baby court. He's an ex-UCLA alum. Like, come on.
I'm seeing him tomorrow. I might see him tomorrow night, so I'm going to have to chat with him.
Was just like, because I was on the phone, and like right before he hung up, like, yeah, we're having Taylor on this week. He's like, bro, make sure you let him know
that. That guy talks so much crap more than anyone, dude. I can't stand it.
The most. And the thing is, he comes across, like, when he interviews, like, oh, he's, like, a really humble guy. Like, he won't talk crap. And then you get him like, around the friends of the, or his boys, and he talks the most. No, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
It's awesome. No, we've had our battles for sure over there. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, and he's going to, you know, be on the Olympic team, if not next year, the next whatever, how many Olympics. But we've had our baby court moments and had our battles. It's awesome getting to play against him.
So speaking of that, right, so when a season is over, let's say, okay, hopefully, or let's say even after they continue the AVP, hopefully they get a few more tournaments in. Are you going back to Hawaii, or are you?
Yeah.
I know that they're really strict about LA, or in LA about the beach rules, so it's not a lot of like probably training as much as you want to going on. So is every like Hawaii player going back to play an outrigger or somewhere? Or?
Yeah, I'd imagine my brother goes back pretty early, probably in October, and he'll stay through December, January. I'll go back a little later, probably November, December, and I'll stay there for a couple months, just waiting to hear what the next international events will be next year.
Right.
So that it all kind of depends on when that season will start up next year.
Does Jake come over there to train ever? Is he ever over there training with you?
No, I mean, I would love for him to come out there, but I mean, he has his family out here.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave them any more than he has to already.
Speaking of that, I mean, I'm not going to, obviously you don't have an answer, and you're not going to, even if you do, you're not going to spill it all out, obviously, right now, but have you kind of started thinking about the next partner after Jake? Because I know after next year, he's retiring.
Honestly, I mean, of course I have people in mind, but no, man, I'm honestly cherishing these last tournaments, I get a whole another year with him now, which is awesome. And to be honest, anyone I pick up after him is not going to be the same. I mean, he's not even just talking, not even about the volleyball, like about the guy and the partner he is unlike any teammate I've ever been around. So it's pretty special.
I think it's kind of, anytime any beach partner splits, or whether it's his or their decision, it's always Jake that all this gets better and better. You know, I think it was him and Sean, was it Sean Rosenthal?
Yeah, him and Rosie.
He was with Casey Patterson, and they were the champion, and now it's announced at the end. It just keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
So one thing, I mean, you were a stud in the indoor games, and still are. I'm sure, I know you go to the Long Beach alumni games, right?
Yeah, but it's rough now.
No, I get it.
It's fun to get back out there and play, though.
You went right after. You went overseas, correct? Am I correct?
Yeah, I played 1 year in France.
In France. Which club were you with over there?
Set.
Okay, right on. Yeah. And how much I can imagine, how much better do you enjoy your experience now playing AVP versus living?
I mean, it's awesome because I still get to travel over there to Europe and, you know, spend a week over there at a time and instead of 9 months straight.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I have the best of both worlds. I get to live here and I still get to travel.
So, like I said, you're a prominent figure in the indoor game, and we don't play a lot of beach, but we occasionally play beach, and we play against, obviously, not just indoor players that play beach, but actual beach volleyball players. So I was wondering, what is the most annoying, and I'll name mine first, the most annoying thing that beach players do that you hate, and the most annoying thing that indoor players do that you hate?
For me, on the court or, like,
on the court? For me, when, like, beach players, this pissed me off so much. When they go, like, they put their hand up for, like, 10 seconds, or they're like, can you move, please? I'm like, bro, we're facing, but there's, I mean, you face probably – twice as hard serves against a bigger screen than that, and I'm just like, bro, get out of it. We were playing while
that's
passing.
True.
There was this one guy. He's like, we aced him, and he tried to make his redo because Dalton, who's our big guy, was at the net like this, and he couldn't 100% see him. I'm like, bro, get out of here.
Oh,
I was like, get out of here. That pisses me off the most for sure.
That's good. I think I would have to go with just people who like take their time to like go back to serve or like and the funny thing is Jake does this, like he'll walk up to the net and he'll smooth over the sand because that's where he's jumping from, which is that's all right, but like other people will go like walk around the court and like fix the lines and like, dude, just go back and serve. If you're tired, then you need to hop on a treadmill or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like I think every sport has their every like top franchise in a sport has that, whether it's the, like, we're Warriors fans, Warriors, Draymond Green, you hate him until he's on your team. Like,
exactly.
You hate him doing that until it works and he's on your team. And it benefits.
And it's always like the B, it's always like a lot of times when we were younger, a lot of like the B level players will do this. It's always like the worst players that like pull the most. Bro, who do you think you are? Like,
need all the help they can get, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the one thing I noticed. But so what is the indoor? What do you hate about indoor players that you love about, I mean, the beach now?
It doesn't have to be hate. Yeah. Just like annoyance.
What's a pet peeve?
Yeah.
What indoor players do when they're playing indoor?
Yeah.
Or maybe there is one. What is yours? You didn't say yours.
I say mine is, I guess it's libero. Sometimes I don't get, like, there's like a lot of smack talk. I feel like the little kid trying to jump over the chair. Like, what's happening up there? Because like, I don't hear, they're like, dude, that guy said, I was like, I didn't hear any of this. Like, let me get up there, come on. Because I like to run my mouth too sometimes. So that's it kind of for me. So or something that you can't do that you can do in a beach game?
I don't know. I wouldn't say there's anything. I think just like the one thing that I don't like about the indoor game in general is that like people don't see the smaller details and the smaller plays in indoor. Like as a libero, you probably don't get as much
recognition,
yeah, as like, you know, just your outside hitter or your opposite that's getting every kill. But there's so many more like little things that happen in the indoor game that need recognition, and like the normal fan will never see that. They just care about who gets the kill.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's, you hear that a lot, especially from he was waiting for the day for him to get set from the libero position. Yeah. And, like, there's no chance I would ever, when I was playing with him, I would ever do that.
But after your Wapaka win,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm like, I'm making a case for myself now.
Dude,
like,
I've been telling him for so long that he needs a hit, and then finally 4 years after club volleyball, he gets out there. And he was ridiculous. Like, I don't even, I was setting balls like, dude, you're getting set every ball. Anybody else? Because we had to pull somebody out who was drunk out of the stands. He was like, and we had to go play them. Like, Gage, he can't. Right now he's not really
shaking. Oh my god, that's more epic, dude.
But for you, I had a quick question, kind of in the international stage right now, because I'm good friends. I was roommates with Hendrik Mol, and I know the Mol family really well. And kind of
Played with Stein, right?
Yeah, played with Stein, and I got connected just with the rest of Beach Long Vikings just through the Moles. Right now, what is, I mean, people ask this all the time, and I know, like, as a competitor, it's really frustrating. And at the end of the day, like, next year is the tournament that matters, and they've been kind of on a run lately. And going forward, what is, like, it's obvious he gets the best blocking award, Anders Mol, and they get all these awards. But is there something that people don't see kind of right out in front of them that makes them special, makes them unique and tougher for teams to play against?
I mean, I hate to be generic and like cliche, but dude, they're literally good at every single skill. Like their ball control, their pass. It's not that he's just a great blocker. He has a good jump serve. He's a phenomenal blocker. He can side out. He can pass. He won best setter, I believe. Like his whole game is just amazing right now. And Christian doesn't get the recognition he deserves because he's kind of overshadowed by Anders. But sure. Christian, I think, is, I mean, maybe even a better volleyball player than him.
Yeah.
Just no, pound for pound.
I think his steadiness is what makes him, Christian's steadiness makes him so special. Yeah. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but teams have found a little success when, like, late in a tournament, they'll go, like, they'll beat him in a tournament here and there when they go after Anders a little bit. Because he at times could be a guy who might make a mistake here or there, or Christian's just like, he's just used to siding out. He's so automatic. Right. Anders knows how to set him, and he's just really steady.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to call Anders one-dimensional for his side out, but I mean, Christian just has more variety for his side out. So it might be harder to stop him. But if you don't have the blocker or the big guy that can actually get up there with unders, then you're not going to stop them. That's the thing. So
yeah,
it kind of depends what kind of defense and team you are to pick which guy you go after, because they're so different and so good, but you could kind of change it up depending who your blocker is and who your defender is.
And that's something for you guys too. I was talking to my cousin, actually. He's a lacrosse player, but this is just anything in sports. You look at the top teams for you guys, for all the top international teams, and what makes them better than just middle of the pack international teams who are still really good teams, or the teams below them. And just the ability to come out and be so consistent. They're not like, you're never going to just fluster them. And it's not they're doing anything physically different than anybody else, but they're just so consistent. They're not going to have ups and down flow. And that's kind of cliche to talk about as well, but it's really true.
In those tournaments, it's pool play, and then it's a single elimination bracket. So you have one bad game, you're out of the tournament. So that's why the consistency is super big in the international level.
Yeah, on the international level right now, would you say they are the toughest matchup outside of the U.S.?
Yeah, for sure.
For you guys? Because I feel like there's some teams that actually match up decently with them. Like, I watched their matches, and they're like, all right, they have a good matchup.
I feel like we match up pretty well with them. We've played them three times, and the first time we had a swing 14-13 in the third to win the match. The second time it also went to three, and then the third time they smashed us down in two. But for the most part, it's been competitive games, and I think we match up pretty well with them. But to them, Russia and Poland right now that are kind of the top dogs.
For sure. No, what's the Russian guy who's massive? They have that one massive.
Oleg Stoyanovsky and then Krasilnikov. Yeah, they're nasty.
One thing I kind of want to talk about as well is when it comes to coaching for Beach, I'm not really sure how it works, because you guys are the team and the coach has to come find you. So is it like opposite in the indoor, where it's like you go to the coach? So I mean, how does it? Well, first of all, I'm gonna guess how you guys got your coach. I'm gonna say you had like a line of coaches, and then you just kind of looked and just on based on physicality and electricity, and you're like rich.
We needed a bodyguard for when we travel overseas. That kind of it's how it works. I mean, if you're the top three, four teams for the U.S. You get the U.S. will pay for your coach or give them a stipend and pay for their travel. So that's pretty big. Otherwise, coaching a beach team is not really worth it for the time that you put in. But yeah, so Rich was open, and we kind of had three people in mind, but we thought he was the best candidate, and it's been amazing. He's one of my favorite coaches ever.
So they reach out to you guys, or is it vice versa?
We reached out to him.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And is that how it usually is?
Yeah, for the most part. If you're the top three or four teams, then you kind of reach out to people and ask them if they want to do it for the season or however long.
Okay. So before we kind of let you off here, I want to kind of end on a fun note. And I want to talk to you about the whole Whiskey Brothers thing about doing the new kind of show. So do you guys get drunk before and then drink these or as it continuously goes on, you get more and more relaxed?
So that's actually a good question. Before our first couple episodes, I mean, me and my brother have never done anything like this, like on camera, and we're not acting.
Do you guys edit it? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Our cousin films it and edits it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's good with it. So our first couple episodes, we kind of like pre-gamed it just to get loose. Because we were nervous, dude. It was
right. I get it.
I don't like being on camera and doing that, like acting or whatever. So we took a few drinks before, and then we do drink all the whiskey that you see in the video. We are pretty loosed up by the end.
So now you guys are seasoned professionals. You come in sober, and then as it goes on, you get a little more courage in you. That's what I think.
Well, you got to get Micah Ma. You got to get Ma on that.
We're doing season two in Hawaii when we go back. we're gonna film some episodes, so we'll get a bunch of different people. Maybe awesome. Some of you guys or whoever.
He's legal. Yeah, he's legal.
Dude. Yeah.
We'll see what the coaching staff says.
John Lee, I'm gonna go and hammer him.
Coach, don't worry, I have this idea. It's totally fine. But before we let you off, really, so I was telling you about the intro we did. How well? Last question. How well do you know about the partner split? Is it pretty open about like why all the partners split, or is there kind of like you guys are?
I mean, you kind of hear through the grapevines, like, what kind of happened or who initiated it, like, who said, hey, let's split up. Maybe you don't know the full story, but you kind of know who wanted the split,
which is interesting. Sure. Yeah. Maybe our intro will get some rumors sparked. Maybe we'll get him on the show.
I said about Budinger and Patterson. I said that Budinger said something about Patterson's hair or something, but I don't know. We'll see. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. If you haven't, the next tournament's coming up, the Porsche Cup is coming up this Sunday, right?
Well, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We'll be cheering you all. We'll be rooting for you. Hopefully, I'll see you in Hawaii. I wish you the best of luck, and I hope the AVP continues on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys for having me. See you guys soon.
Because of Mayday.
Gonna be the one Alrighty. Thank you, Max. Round of applause. Thank you, Max. Max, thank you. Thank you very much.
I honestly think that's Sinatra's best song that he ever wrote. Oasis's cover is great, too.
So we're going to kind of go off. We're going to branch off what Taylor just said there and talk about having us on his whiskey show. Probably not the best idea. Hey, like, we'll have one of you guys on. I'm like, hey, actually, you're 21. For the brand. If you invite me, I mean, all right. Max,
can you do a coffee review? I'm in.
You should start your own.
How does whiskey even, do they review the whiskey on the show?
Yeah, they review this. They do it on their Instagram, and they do different bottles.
My palate,
super well.
My palate is not refined enough to where I can tell the difference. They're all going to taste like absolute gasoline.
Well, I'm sure after you hear me tell the story of getting wasted before the next day and then going to semis, I think he's a seasoned veteran in that field right there.
What a legend.
That is a legend. That's crazy. That's nuts. I don't know. Some people.
Dairy.
Okay, so I don't drink. Joe drinks, and sometimes I'm like, how is he gonna function? Okay, and sometimes I give him crap. I'm like, you don't know anything. You're like, some people actually drink and do well once they're kind of drunk.
Just to clarify, Joe doesn't drink like a maniac, but he just drinks like any other 23-year-old, just at a party, at a whatever function.
Right, I didn't mean to kind of come up
the way he came on.
Yeah,
me,
Joe's a drinker, like, you gotta be careful saying that.
The way he came on to me, I'm like, yeah, at a family gathering with friends, occasionally.
Okay, I mean it like that. But he was saying
he came on to me like, what are you trying to make me sound like here?
Joe is a drunk. Joe was drinking before the show, and
Joe, where's your flask?
This thing whiskey the whole show. But Joe would always tell me, like, some people play better when they're a little tipsy, a little drunk.
Dude, there are players, they show up to tournaments.
Exhibit A.
And they show up, and it's like magic juice for them. The older players, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know the science behind it, but.
There's never been an indoor player. There's never been an indoor player that can do that. Maybe Inga Pep.
There's indoor players who could do that, I guarantee you.
Who could do that? Who has done that?
I guarantee there's guys. Professional boys who've shown up.
Joe usually doesn't get a chance to ask before they play a match in the Bundesliga games. He's like, hey, so do you have any drinks in the locker room before we start? I'd be like, get the hell out.
No, I guarantee you there's players out there who show up a little buzzed. I'm willing to guarantee that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Well, hopefully we'll be seeing a lot of Taylor crowd. Well, first of all,
when he gets out there, we got to shoot some content.
Exactly. We got to shoot content with him. Hopefully we'll see him a lot. Because who knows? We don't know when we're practicing. I mean, no one knows when we're practicing.
Gage didn't get out there. Breaking news. Gage Worsley, Taylor Crabb, next beach volleyball combo.
No. Because that's what I was asking. I was like, no, you got a partner. Well, I'll do it. If you give me a sponsorship by Rockstar, you know. I mean, hopefully we see him out there. Hopefully you see a lot of like professional, because like I said, like you said, there's one big community, indoor, outdoor. And hopefully you see a lot of the guys like playing. I mean, if he invites me, I'm gonna go, because like I said, we don't know how much practice. I mean, Max would be.
If they need someone to drop the lefty hammer.
And Max,
who's a lefty on the tour? Big lefty.
Successful lefty. There's no
successful
lefty.
Yeah, nobody like the top right now. That's a big time.
When can you name a successful who's that lefty that part of John?
Can you name a successful lefty anything?
Probably
not. Plenty of
watch out what you're
plenty
saying.
Plenty of lefty pitches.
Just kidding.
Lefty liberos.
Yep.
Doesn't really
ball specialist. Max, have you heard anything about practicing or no?
No comment.
Yeah. So
play the fifth.
We'll lead off with it. Well, that's about as much as we know here on the system.
So before Gage signs off here, again, I will see you guys probably next time we do the show. It'll be when I'm in Deutschland in quarantine next week. Friedrichshafen. That's most likely the next time we'll be shooting. So auf Wiedersehen. And we will see you.
My Schmetterlings.
That doesn't make sense.
To wrap up what Joe said, things
what's
are
the
changing.
Mouse thing, Joe? Say the mouse thing in German.
Oh, Tschüssi Mäuschen.
What does that mean?
It means like.
My mouse.
bye, Mousy, or see you, Mousy.
It's like calling a girl a mouse. It's like
it's like a really weird thing to say.
You learn in German. Why do you learn these? Like, how does that come about?
Dude, that's common. Funny. That's a flirty thing, Joe said, right?
That's all I say. It's
my mouse.
Around.
You just called ladies. Like, come here, Mousy.
Come here, Mousy.
So to wrap up what Joe said, things are changing. Joe's going to go back to Deutschland. Things are changing, but they're actually not changing because we're still doing the show. It's the OG thing.
We're still dope content.
Repping it. Come on now.
Content coming.
Exactly.
Soon.
There's going to be more content. There's going to be podcasts every week. So you better stay tuned. Things are changing, but they're staying the same. So this has been another episode. This has been another system episode about system. This has been another episode about system. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, do your thing. Geek, we out.